Hello, welcome back to Coach Anya Below the Bar podcast. So this week's episode, I want to talk about planning for the rest of 2025. So look, we don't always have to be in a calorie deficit. If you have gotten up to this point in 2025 without going into a diet, fair play to you. If you're just back off a holiday and you feel like you put on some holiday pounds and you want to shift them for the Christmas period so you can enjoy yourself, that's great also. Or if you just want to maintain your weight, that's fine too. Or if you want to gain weight, if you want to put on muscle, I'm going to be discussing that, how to do that for the next 4 months. Yeah, so it's always good to have a plan because the kids are going back to school soon and, you know, your schedule is going to change. Like if you do have kids, you're probably not going to have as much time on your hands, or you might have more time on your hands. It's just, yeah, scheduling will change now because it might be a good thing that they're going back to school because you don't constantly have to keep them entertained, and that's obviously eating into a lot of you time. It means you have to prioritize your kids also. But when they're back in school, you might work from home, and because they're being minded by the teachers, you might have the extra hour then in the day to get your walk in and stuff, you know, just little things like that. But yeah, I do know that a lot of things change when it comes to September and you have a family. But just before we jump into the planning side of things, because I don't want it to be a thing where people just decide tomorrow, this could be at any stage over the next 4 months. Oh, do you know what? I didn't like how I looked in the mirror last night in that dress. I'm just going to start a diet tomorrow. Okay, well, how are you going to plan for that? Like, you don't just want to start a diet with no end goal in sight, with no like phasing or anything. Like, oh yeah, I want to lose a stone. Okay, well, how are you going to do that? Like, where's your calories going to come from? Have you decided how, like, what program you're going to do? Like, some people just pick a number out of thin air because they think that's the way they want to look. Like, no, there needs to be a plan. There needs to be a system, and there needs to be a sustainable approach. Okay, but just before we jump into that, excuse me, I did a 15 kilometer run today. I actually tried to do one last week and it was during the few days when, you know, the sun was splitting the stones and it was 25 degrees out, and Jesus Christ, like, I probably would have done better if I had a raging hangover. That's how bad it was with the heat. Like, it was awful. It was like trying to breathe through a straw or in a sauna. I remember getting to 10 kilometers and I was like, what the hell is happening? And, you know, your ego does take a hit because, you know, there's no way I'm getting shitter at running. Like, I've been running since January, and, you know, your confidence does take a hit because you're like, oh, I have a half marathon in 5 weeks. Like, what the hell's going on here? You know, like, I thought I was pushing myself, and I was looking at me watching, it was 6 minutes. And for someone who's been training since January, like, I started at 6 minutes, actually probably about 6:20. So, you know, to be 8 months in and at 6 minutes again, I'm like, what the hell is happening here? But I just had to convince myself, it's the heat. I haven't trained in the heat. I'm not used to running in the heat. So I managed to only do about 13 kilometers, and that was like stopping and starting for the last 4 kilometers. Like, it was awful. I couldn't just fight the feeling of just wanting to get sick. Like, that's how I felt. And I had a good rest. I had a few days, you know, without running, so the legs were fresh. Maybe I didn't drink enough water, maybe I didn't hydrate enough, maybe I didn't take enough electrolytes. Look, we could be here all day, but I ended up completing the 15 kilometer run today, and, you know, I did it at 5:55 rather than 6 minutes, and I stopped once for a gel break and then I stopped once at lights. But yeah, so look, and while I'm talking about that now, like, I am into marathon training also, but I'm also going to be doing a half marathon in 4 weeks. I think it's the 24th of September. And what my coach wants me to do is he wants me to run a half marathon distance 2 weeks before it. Okay, so he wants me to obviously have a 2 week rest then in between where I'm tapering. Jesus, you wouldn't be able to run 21 kilometers the week before. You definitely feel it in the legs. But I think it's just kind of like a trial period because I do really want to break the sub two, but I'm also starting to get worried that being in a deficit for so long has taken its toll on my pace. And that's why I just can't wait to finish this deficit now. Like, this is my second last week in a deficit. I'm going to Benidorm on a hens, which that was always the goal. When I came back from Oz in Australia, that was the next time I was going to have away. And I wanted to just kind of like, yeah, shed the 5 kg that I gained from January to May, for going on that weekend away at the end of August, because I'm going to be in a bikini and I just wanted to feel, you know, back to my usual self again, but not feeling guilty for enjoying myself over the number of months where I was away. You know, I knew I was going to have time to shed these pounds, But that was just something to aim for. Like, you don't always have to have a holiday, you know, it could be something else. But I just can't wait to finish this deficit because it's starting, the I don't know if you ever hear that saying, diet fatigue. It's not even that I'm hungry or that like I feel like I'm running on petrol fumes. I'm just sick of, you know, counting calories and stuff. Like, I think it's mentally starting to take its toll on me now. Like, I'm 12 weeks in. I've basically a week and a half left, but it is starting to take its toll on me now mentally. And I'm like, right, I'm just ready to be done with this. I'm ready for my energy to start like rising again on me runs and get me pace back to normal again. Like, it's usually around 5:40. And, you know, for the past couple of weeks, like in me intervals, like I've been able to run like 5:40, no problem. But you do feel it in the long runs because you're out there for longer, you know, and just to fuel properly and stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, the day before I do a long run, like I'll be only in like a smaller deficit then, you know, rather than like a 500 calorie deficit. And what that means is I take 500 calories away from my maintenance calories. I'm not only eating 500 calories. I actually go into about a 200 calorie deficit, okay? So instead of 500 calories less, I'm only eating 200 calories less. And it just means like, it's nearly like an extra meal, you know, and it does make a massive difference. And it's 300 calories I'm having worth of carbs that goes into my energy then for the following day. But today was good. I felt that I performed well, and that's because I hydrated well and, you know, I fueled properly the day before with food and obviously this morning. But yeah, I'm just ready to be done with this deficit though. But we are in the 60 kg range. So I started this deficit at 65.8 and my lowest weigh-in was yesterday. It was 60.5. So yeah, we're absolutely flying now. We're literally like 5 kg down, like, so nearly 12 pounds, nearly 12 pounds. And hopefully we might nearly be at the stone by the time we get to the end of it. Look, if I don't, it's literally a pound. Like, you're not going to notice that in the mirror, but just to get the even number would be great. But however, it hasn't come, I haven't lost it, you know, but with a few hiccups along the way. Like, I wasn't perfect. Like, there was some weeks where I did miss a cardio session, and, you know, there was other weeks where I might have gone over my calories if I ate out or something like that. There was like two weekends in a row, I can't remember, where I had a meal and a few drinks one weekend, and then I just had a few drinks another weekend. I ate and drank. That was both over the 12 weeks so far. I did that twice. But I calorie banked, and, you know, I was doing so much activity level with the long runs, the training, my own cardio, the steps, that it probably didn't make much of a dint in the grand scheme of things, because I'm right on plan. Like, I'm nearly 12 pounds down and I'm 12 weeks in. So that's 1 pound a week. So I'm happy with that, you know. I didn't abuse myself every weekend going over the calories and stuff. But yeah, we're nearly there, nearly there. So anyway, okay, back to the point of this podcast. How do you plan for the next 4 months? So I am making this podcast now on the 19th of August, okay? So September, October, November, December. You need to look at your own calendar, okay? Because I can't paint everyone with the same brush. So for example, me, I'm done with deficits now, all right? I am. After these 2 weeks, I won't be putting in a deficit for the next 4 months into my calendar. I will be back at maintenance, and probably a small surplus actually, because I'm going to be running a marathon and I need my energy. So for the next 2 months, for the next 8 weeks or 10 weeks, I should say, it's nearly 10 weeks until the full marathon, I will not be going into a deficit. And then November and December, so there's no point going into a deficit in November because, you know, it's 4 weeks and I don't want to diet over Christmas. And that's also a point to mention as well, okay? Look at your 4 months. Do you want to be dieting into the month of December? No, okay, because it's silly season. You're going to have a lot on. Maybe it's a period to aim for where you actually want to have the fat loss phase out of the way, okay? So what would be my recommendation if you didn't have much going on over the next 4 months, okay? What I would do is, this is based on someone not having any holidays, or you might just have a weekend away and you could still stick to this. What I would do is, I would take September as a maintenance month, okay? So find out your maintenance calories on it using a TDE calculator, TDEE calculator online. You're going to put in your height, your weight, your age, and your level of activity, okay? Now, don't put your current level of activity. If you are a couch potato, don't say you are a sedentary person who never exercises. I want you to put in, realistically, how often you'll be working out a week. Now, I don't want you to put in 6 days a week because you want to lose as quick as possible. No. Be realistic. How often can you work out? When you look at your lifestyle, how often do you work? What are your hours? How many kids do you have? What extracurricular activities do they have? Do you have any weekends away coming up? Okay, what is a realistic amount of time for you to exercise? And that's in terms of days. And then how much in a day can you work out? Obviously, an hour would be great. Going into the gym, you know, doing a 45-minute workout, and then, you know, maybe 15 minutes of cardio afterwards. Look, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty, because some people will only be able to work out 2 days, others 3 days, others four. Some people might only be able to work out for 30 minutes a day, others, you know, an hour and a half, okay? There is no perfect amount of time to be working out for. It has to apply to your lifestyle and it has to be sustainable, okay? So don't be copying off Mary down the road. You just take out a piece of paper now. How many days can you train a week? Okay, let's just take Mary for example. Mary can train for 3 days a week and she has an hour to work out. Okay, so she's going to have to build her program to be about 45 minutes. And then we'll take 15 minutes just to go on the Stairmaster afterwards, at a reasonable level where she can have a conversation, okay? And that's 45 minutes of cardio she's doing across the week. And if she's gone from, like, you know, sitting at a desk for most of the day, doing less than 5,000 steps, in week one, do we want to be bumping that up to 10,000 steps straight away? No. Take the Monday to September and gradually increase Mary's steps over the weeks, okay? So week one could be 5,000 steps. Week two in September could be 7,000 steps. Week three could be 8. And then by week four, she's up to 10,000, okay? So she's weaning herself in. She's not taking on too much too soon where it feels overwhelming and she freaks out and she ends up just throwing the towel in, okay? So that's what I would say to someone who's not used to walking a lot. If you are used to walking a lot and you're probably on your feet and walk a lot, and you get your 10,000 steps in anyway, hitting two boards with the one stone, happy days. You don't have to get extra steps in when you come home from work now. The only thing you have to worry about is getting your workouts in. And you can do that from home, or you can do it in the gym as well, okay? Now, just FYI, I'm not trying to do a cheeky upsell here, all right? I am opening my one-on-one diary, I should say, for in the month of September, because I want to take on people so they can lose weight in the months of September, October and November. Whether they want to work with me for 8 weeks or 12 weeks, that's up to them. But I am opening up that because I don't want to be coaching people through the month of December. A lot of my clients, I will probably still keep on through the month of December, but they'll be at maintenance, okay? So I want people to lose their weight and all by the end of November. I don't think it's sustainable for someone to diet through December. Unless you don't celebrate Christmas, then, you know, happy days, fair play to you. And I will also be running my next 8-week challenge. So I'm currently just coming to the end of my 8-week challenge with my app clients. So I run it through my app. And you know, there's a bunch of girls in there that are getting great results. Like, we are, I think, 7 weeks in now. And their last check-in will be next week. And, you know, some of them have lost 10 pounds already. Like, you know, they're way ahead of schedule. They're so consistent. They're doing great. Some of them, you know, are away for the whole summer. And they're just being mindful and they're just getting their exercise in and they're still getting results. It's great to see. But I will be running my next 8-week challenge from the start of October till the end of November. And then my one-on-one diary is opening from the start of December as well. Okay, so if you're unsuccessful with getting in with me one-on-one, then you can always have the chance to check in to sign up to my 8-week challenge. So what's my 8-week challenge? You do it through my app. You get your meal plan, your workout program. There's a group call every Monday evening where I kind of educate you on different topics in fitness and nutrition. And then you get a weekly check-in with me by text. Okay, so it's like through an app like WhatsApp. It's built into the app, my fitness app, Coach Anya app. And yeah, so you'll just pay for the 8 weeks up front, and then that's how it goes. And then obviously you sign up with me with one-on-one. You'll obviously get a video of me giving you check-in feedback. You'll have a more detailed check-in sheet. You'll have access to me on WhatsApp, you know, any time of day. Well, you know, not any time of day. I'm not going to text back at 4 a.m. But, you know, you'll have direct access to me there. And it's just more, I suppose, full on and more intense. So, yeah, you make up your mind what you want to do. I will be plugging that now over the next couple of days. But anyway, couple of weeks, I should say. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. So, yeah. If you are Mary, okay, and you are thinking about dieting now over the next 4 months, and you've been having the time of your life over the summer, you've been going on holidays, you've been having a few drinks with your friends, you've been going to concerts, parties, special occasions, weddings, weekends away, okay, now it's time to knuckle down. If you got back from holiday on the last day of August and you wake up the next day, you're in your own bed, okay, diet starts today. Now, this is what I would do. for the month of September, work on just maintaining your weight, okay? Now, I know you want to dive into a 200% and do fucking 2 hours of cardio a day and starve yourself until, you know, the 4th of December. No, that's not going to work long term. It hasn't worked before and it's not going to work now. Cutting out bread, cutting out takeaways, just using a completely unsustainable approach, and you're suffering. And for what? Because it doesn't last, okay? You're burnt out after 2 weeks. So listen to me. Honestly, I'm an expert at this stage. I've coached tons of women and this approach always works. I would take September as a month of maintaining. So find out what your maintenance calories are by using a TDE calculator, like I was saying just there a few minutes ago. How many days can you work out a week? And it's gonna give you a number of calories back, okay? Now, I always get DMs like this. I use a TDE calculator and it's after telling me I have to eat 2,000 calories a day. What the absolute hell? Like, that's way too many calories. Like, why am I not eating 1,200 calories a day? Because Mary up the road ate that and she lost a stone in 2 days. Okay, well, first of all, Mary could weigh 20 kg lighter than you and her body requires less food, okay? If you're an individual and... I remember when I was 70 kg, lads, my calorie deficit was 1,900 calories. And that's someone who was working out 3 to 5 days a week. When I lost 10 kg and I was 60 kg, my calorie deficit is 1,500 calories. Okay, so can you see there's a bit of a pattern here? When I lost 8 kg on my fitness photo shoot, I was 52 kg. My calorie deficit was 1,300 calories. I actually wanted to put on weight so I could eat more food. Okay, so do you see the pattern here? The lighter you are, and, you know, the less you move, the less food you will need to lose weight. But if you are carrying more fat mass, what's going to happen is your body is going to need more energy, aka food, to shift you from A to B. Now, add exercise in on top of that. Your body's like, whoa, I'm carrying around an 80 kg individual. And now she's throwing herself around the gym and doing 30 minutes on a Stairmaster 4 days a week. Like, whoa, we need more food here. Otherwise, like, I'm just going to burn out. Okay, so if that TDE calculator spits back to you 2,000 calories, that's your deficit, then you need to actually believe it, okay? Because that's the amount of food you need. Now, what I will say is you could be someone who does need 2,000 calories, but you're just used to like picking at snacks Monday to Friday. And you might only be eating, like if you track that, you might only be eating like 1,400 calories and zero protein. So the feedback I get from my clients all the time is when they actually start eating 3 meals a day and, you know, over 100 grams of protein, they're like, Enya, this is way too much food. Like, I'm so full. I'm like, welcome to being a human being. Welcome to being a fully functioning human being. This is what it feels like to feed yourself. Your body is not used to this. Your digestive system is not used to this. So it is going to take time. So, for example, if you had to eat 140 grams of protein, if you went from eating 20 grams up to 140 grams overnight, obviously that's going to be a lot for your digestive system to take on. So what I would do is, if it did come back to you and say you've to eat 140 grams of protein, okay, there are your macros, your protein, your carbs, your fats, I would even try to even get 60 to 80 grams in on the first week, okay? Have a protein source with each meal. That could be a scoop of protein in your oats in the morning. That could be a chicken fillet with your lunch, and it could be 150 grams of lean mince with your dinner, or a protein yogurt, okay? And if you are finding, oh, I'm constipated, I'm so bloated, your digestive system is just not used to it, okay? So it might even mean just cutting out a protein source at one meal, and then, you know, the following week, adding it in and just gradually weaning your digestive system into it, because it is a lot for you to take on. Because what happens is you just go from snacking your way through Monday to Friday, and then the weekend comes around and that's where the takeaways and the chicken fillet rolls and the breakfast rolls and the chocolate and the crisps and the bottles of wine, that's where you start racking up the calories, okay? Because drink obviously increases your appetite, a hangover increases your appetite, and then being out of kind of routine on the weekends, if there's parties, if there's weekends away, that's where you are starting to make up for the lost calories during the week, okay? So when you actually practice feeding yourself Monday through Sunday, you won't get those urges at the weekend because you'll feel full. Now, obviously, temptation is still going to be looming if you've been in the habit of eating shit constantly, okay? You obviously have to break that habit and do it gradually. So that's what this period of, I think I'm using the right word here, this triation period, September. Work on just maintaining your weight. And what you can do in that month is don't even be thinking about the scale. Don't even be thinking about the scale dropping. What you need to work on is developing a routine, okay, and developing structure. Okay, well, I'm only maintaining my weight, so I'm not chasing fat loss now. So I'm not standing on the scale every day and expecting to see it drop. What I'm trying to chase this month is building structure, practicing getting 3 meals in a day. Where am I going to fit in my steps on a daily basis? What days suit me best to go to the gym? And, you know, maybe 1 week you'll try go to the gym in the morning and you're like, you know what, it's too packed. It's not a good time for me. And then week two, you start experimenting with the afternoon. You might go on your lunch break. No, still not working. At week three, you might find the best time for me to go is actually in the evening. Okay. And that might take 3 weeks for you to realize, but give yourself time and be kind to yourself. For the first month, you're not chasing fat loss. What you're doing is you're actually just trying to build routine. So that way, when you come to October, now you're going to go back to that calorie calculator. After you're into a routine now, you're used to your walks, you're used to going to the gym, you've established now, you know, what you need to do Monday to Friday, on the weekends, etc. That when you go into a deficit from the start of October, it's not going to seem like such a shock to the system, because all you're going to be doing now is you're just going to be reducing your food a bit. You're just going to be taking off 300 to 500 calories from your maintenance. And, you know, nothing will have changed because you've just spent 4 weeks working on your steps and working on your gym routine. That the only change you're going to make now is probably just reducing your portion sizes, okay? And maybe increase cardio a little bit, or, you know, increase your steps a little bit as well. It just won't be a shock to the system. Rather than jumping into a calorie deficit day one of September and trying to conquer all this stuff at once, that means that, you know, you have a good 8 weeks from, actually, 8 weeks, okay? And maybe sometimes people do diet into mid-December and then they have the last 2 weeks off then. So you have like 8 to 10 weeks now of being in a calorie deficit where you can lose 8 to 10 pounds. Like, that's enough to drop a dress size, right? I've lost 5 kg since I've started this calorie deficit. And I remember when I got back from Australia and Thailand, I tried on my size 8 shorts that haven't fit me since my holiday. I think it was my holiday in Malaga last September. And, you know, I could start to feel like they were getting a little bit tight on me then, but they still fit me. I tried on a pair of my size 8 shorts going to Oasis there on the weekend, and they fit me. They actually fit me quite comfortably and they didn't feel tight. And that was a boost in confidence. So that's like 10 to 12 pounds I've lost, and I was able to fit back into my size 8. So, you know, the clothes don't lie, the scale can, but your clothes don't lie. So yeah, you've given yourself now 8 to 10 weeks to drop 8 to 10 pounds. Anything more than that, it's going to require more time on a Stairmaster. It's going to require a harsher calorie deficit, and it's just not worth it, lads. Now, let's just say that's a perfect lifestyle that you have and you have the time to do 8 to 10 weeks, okay? What happens if you have a weekend away in there somewhere? Well, you know, cater to that. Let's just say it's the last week of October and you're away for the bank holiday. You know, maybe that week you could eat maybe 100 calories less each day. I wouldn't be going into 150 to 200 calories calorie banking per day. That's a lot. And it means when you get to the weekend, then you can feel quite restricted all week that you end up overeating. Okay. So I think anything between 50 to 100 calories is perfect for calorie banking. You know, maybe do an extra 10 minutes of cardio on top of your normal cardio sessions. You've made a bit of room. Stick to your low calorie drinks, stick to a main course, and you know, you still get to socialize, you still get to be present. You know, but if you do have a perfect run in for those 8 to 10 weeks, that's great. But don't forget, life gets in the way. You're going to have days where you miss cardio sessions. You're going to have days where you don't hit your step goal. You're going to have days where you go over your calories, okay? It's human. I have had those over the last 12 weeks, okay? You can't avoid it. But that's only going to happen some of the time, and it matters what you do most of the time, okay? So how are you going to track your progress? Well, I'm a big advocate of weighing daily, okay? Or at least 3 times a week so you can see a pattern. If you only weigh one day a week, you can't turn around after 4 weeks and the same number keeps popping up on the scale. This isn't working, okay? You're not getting the big picture here. You can't jump to conclusions and say this isn't working because you're not seeing the bigger picture. Where if you weigh yourself 3 times a week is you're actually seeing a bit of a trend. You could be weighing yourself on a day every week where you had a big meal the night before, you haven't been to the toilet in a few days, it's your time of the month. You just happen to weigh yourself on the same day every week where there was just something going on around that day on that particular week and the same number keeps popping up. But if you had weighed yourself daily or at least 3 times a week, you would have missed a low weigh-in, okay? And then you would be saying, this is actually working. So if you're not a big fan of weighing daily, but I always try to, you know, to try hammer into people's heads, when you understand why the scale fluctuates, you stop getting attached to a number, okay? Like my scale was lingering for the last week, 61.5 to 62 because of the heat, okay? Because your body's trying to hold on to water to keep you hydrated. I knew that's why I was. It wasn't my time of the month. I was, you know, being consistent with my activity, being consistent with my deficit. that was the only explanation. And, you know, I have an episode on scale fluctuations. You should go back and listen to it. But when you understand why it fluctuates, you stop getting attached to a number, okay? I've often gotten messages. Have you got any tips for, you know, the scale fluctuating? Like, it's so frustrating. I'm like, I'm sorry, but the scale's not going to give you special treatment. It happens for everyone. It's going to fluctuate. It's out of your control. But do you know what you can control? The stuff that contributes to you actually losing weight, and that's staying in a deficit, hitting your step goal, hitting your cardio goals, and, you know, going to the gym and working out. Okay, you can control that, but you can't control a number. But over time, it will start dropping down. I use either my app to track my weight on a daily basis, and then there's another app called Happy Scale. If you're not using my app, I plug my weight in there on a daily basis, and it gets your average then over the course of a week. So even though there's fluctuations, at the end of the week, you'll see like it actually did go down. Even though there was fluctuations, it went down maybe half a pound or to a full pound. And some weeks, you know, over those 8 to 10 weeks between October and November, you might only lose half a pound. That doesn't mean you failed. And some weeks you're going to have a night out where, you know, you end up in the kebab shop, or you're going to have a weekend away where you probably overeat, okay? But it's important to remember this. You didn't gain body fat on that weekend and you didn't ruin your progress. But that particular week, you may have not been in a full calorie deficit every day because of the weekend away. You might have only lost half a pound. You didn't ruin your progress. You probably just had, there was probably just a slower rate of fat loss that week. But you didn't gain body fat and you didn't ruin your progress, okay? But yeah, so that's the way I would track progress. I would weigh daily. And I would also take progress pictures every week. So I'd stand in a room where there's natural light coming through the window, first thing in the morning, before breakfast, after you go to the loo. And I'd weigh myself after I go to the loo and before breakfast as well every morning. If you're someone that gets up at the crack of dawn for work at like 5 a.m. and like your last meal was like 10 or 9, like it might not give you accurate readings every morning, but it is, you have fasted for 8 hours without eating, so it is probably the ideal time to weigh yourself, okay? But just take that into consideration if you do weigh very early. So progress pictures, stand in a bright room with natural light shining through the window, front facing, so facing the window, and then turn around, have your back to the window, and then stand to the side, okay? If you have no one to take your pictures, have your phone at a level where it's like, you know, up to your waist, and put on a chair, put on a windowsill, set the timer on it for 10 seconds. You can take your own pictures. And don't expect to see massive changes after 2 weeks, okay? I didn't really start seeing changes till after 8 weeks of my calorie deficit. So just accept it's probably going to be around 6 to 8 weeks before I actually start noticing a few differences. Don't take your pictures in a room with like an orange light over your head, like the big light in the sitting room, say, for example, or if there's a lamp on in the room and it's dark, like it's just not going to give you a good enough picture to notice differences. And especially if you're taking it in a different light on week one, then in a different light on week two, then in a different light on week eight, like they're just not going to be accurate. So make sure you take it in the same room with the same light source at the same time, okay? So that's the scale, pictures, take measurements as well every 2 weeks. If you have a body tape, you can order one off Amazon. And they're the three that I'd fit. And then obviously how your clothes fit as well. Like you're probably going to notice that after 8 to 10 weeks. And then they'd be the three sources. And then people kind of start mentioning things as well. Like, oh, I can see it in your face. And like, are you in the gym? Have you lost weight and stuff? And then, okay, so that's the progress metrics. Okay, how to measure your progress. And then when it comes to calories and cardio, okay, let's say you start your deficit now on week one of October. After 4 weeks, assess, is the scale dropping down? Now, I mean, is the scale dropping, okay? Are you actually honouring your calorie deficit? Don't say, it's not dropping, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Are you picking off your kids' plates? Are you skipping cardio sessions? Are you only half-arsing your steps? That's the reason it's not dropping down on a weekly basis, okay? If after 2 to 3 weeks, the scale is not dropping and you are being 100%, then maybe knock 50 to 100 calories off your current calorie deficit, okay? And try that for 2 to 3 weeks. Give it 2 to 3 weeks, don't give it a week. And then if it does start moving, happy days, stick to that. Because sometimes these TD calculators, they don't be 100% accurate, but you need to trial it for like 2 to 3 weeks. As I mentioned, it took me 5 weeks in this deficit for my scale to start moving. I had to start playing around with calories. After 2 weeks, nothing's moving. We reduced them again, kind of started moving, then we increased cardio. Okay, now we're actually dropping a pound a week, okay? So it does take a bit of trial and error. And then when it gets into the month of November, what you can do is the final 4 weeks, or if you're going to do it till mid-December, the final 6 weeks, you could up your cardio in a month or two. if you were currently doing 20 minutes, maybe you can up it to 30 minutes now. And if you're doing 3 days a week, like that's an extra 30 minutes you're doing over the week now, okay? And it's just subtle changes. I wouldn't be doing cardio and a deficit and decreasing calories at the same time. Pick one or the other, okay? If you're tight for time, go with food. If you have time to spare, then probably up the cardio. I'm a big advocate for keeping your food the same, but just adding on more cardio if you do have the time, because it's easier to sustain when you can eat more food, let's be honest. But if you're someone who, I actually can't do any more cardio when you're like, I'm really tight for time with the kids and work and stuff. All I can manage is 15 minutes after each session. Okay, fine. Well, then we'll knock off 100 calories to 150 calories, okay, in month two or week four onwards. And then stick to that until you finish, okay? It just means you've spent 4 weeks at maintenance in September, 4 weeks in a normal calorie deficit from the start of October to the end of October. Now we've built up momentum. We're used to being in a deficit now from the last 4 weeks. Now let's, you know, finish strong, push that a little bit harder, build momentum in November and knock off some calories or increase cardio, one or the other, okay? You could increase steps as well, but you probably have to do more steps than you would increase cardio. You know, for the amount of calories that you burn down 12,000 steps, you could probably burn that with an extra 15 minutes of cardio, you know. So obviously cardio is a time saver as opposed to doing more steps. But yeah, little subtle changes like that do help massively. And then when it gets to December, don't throw your diet out the window. And diet doesn't mean being in a calorie deficit, okay? Obviously it's silly season. You're going to have nights out, work parties, family parties. Try maintain your weight at least, okay? Because it's easy losing the weight, lads, but it's actually hard to maintain the weight loss. And don't just think, okay, my diet is finished now, I'm going to eat rings around myself, and then you end up whacking on the weight again and you're back to square one. Just enjoy the days where you have your social occasions, but just bounce back to routine, back to your maintenance calories, back to your gym routine, back to your steps. Remember, this is a lifestyle, okay? It's not just an 8 week period. It's just some parts of the year you're eating less because you're in a deficit, and then other parts of the year you're eating as normal because you just want to maintain your weight. You might have a holiday, etc. And you could use this strategy for any time of the year, okay? You could do this in January. January could be your maintenance period. And then February, March is where you go into your diet. And then, you know, you could be heading away in April or May. But yeah, I hope that's helped. I'm sure there's probably things I've forgotten or things I haven't added in, but they are the staples of how you should plan the rest of your year, okay? Now, look, everyone has individual things going on. If you are doing the marathon and you want to diet after the marathon, I wouldn't recommend going into a calorie deficit if you're planning on running 42 kilometres, lads. I just wouldn't. I'm finishing up now in a week or two with this deficit, and I can't wait to see the back of it. I can't wait to get my energy back. But after the marathon, which is the 26th of October, you'll have November and December. But again, like, you could do a diet for 6 weeks into mid-December. But, you know, if you really wanted to be consistent and you give it your all, like, you could lose 6 to 8 pounds, you know, you could lose half a stone. But look, if that's what you want to do, happy days. But other people would rather just probably, you know, I'll just maintain now till January. But yeah, there's loads of different ways you could go about it. But I hope that's helped. That's usually how I plan out my year in general. What have I got coming up, etc. When's the best time to diet this year? When's the best time to maintain? Yeah, so it's whatever suits your lifestyle and makes your life easier. So that's this week's episode. Hope it's helped. Hope it's educated you a bit more on fat loss and maintenance phases. And keep an eye out, because I will be opening up my one-on-one diary and my next 8 week challenge will start at the beginning of October. If you're looking for a bit of accountability, if you are doing a calorie deficit, okay? Have a great week.